Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Talk To Me Sports Radio Network.
This is Talk To Me Sports Radio, coming from the jungle. This is Kevin Dixon. I want to hope everybody's staying warm, snuggly, cocoa, and marshmallows and all that good stuff to keep them warm, because it's going to be cold tonight. It's going to be real cold. But I tell you what, it's going to be rosy in the Rose Bowl coming up soon. We got Auburn and Florida State playing in the Rose Bowl tonight. It's going to be a great game. Now, first and foremost, we have a young man by the name of Austin Pettis Payne from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, playing the game with Auburn. I would love to see that guy do well. I'm kind of pulling for Auburn now because of him, but I just want to see a great game. I think it's going to be an outstanding game, and I think the BCS is finally getting it right. Most of these games that have been playing, the bowl games this year, have been pretty exciting, pretty good. I sat down and watched a lot of bowl games this year, and some of them was pretty exciting. So I think the BCS finally got it right at the end. Now they're coming up with a new solution to the playoffs, which I don't agree with, but it is what it is. And some things you can't change. I mean, they're tweaking it. Maybe it might make it better. Maybe it won't make it better. So we'll have to see. Talking about getting to the NFL – playoffs yesterday. My question, I want to know, what in the devil was the Kansas City Chiefs thinking about? Jamarcus Charles got hurt. I know the backup got hurt. But they could have figured out a way, a fullback or somebody in the backfield to run that ball, because they needed to run the ball, and that killed them in the long run, because they had to pass the ball most of the second half. If I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I'm hurt to the bottom of my heart, because we had that game and we lost that game. It's really tough to be up so many points at halftime. It was up 31, 32 to 10 or something of that nature, and to lose a game in that fashion, it really hurts. But then again, we're talking about Andy Reid. So Kansas City, you guys can feel the pain that that the Philadelphia Eagles been going through for the last 10 years. You get there, you're at the door, you're knocking, got one foot in, and all of a sudden somebody slams the door on your foot hurt, you're outside looking in. So that's just something else with that situation there. Speaking of the NFL also, I see that the NFL is talking about adding two more teams to the roster for the playoffs. Fans, I tell you what, it's inevitable, it's going to happen. You may not agree with it, but it's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you, just for GP or FYI, that if they would have had it this year, the Arizona Cardinals would have gotten in and they'd play the Carolina Panthers. And those Pittsburgh Steelers would have gotten in, and they played the New England Patriots. So that would have been a good game, because them two teams don't like each other whatsoever. So I think that, you know, I don't know if it's going to be next year or the year after, but it's definitely coming. So prepare yourself for it to see other teams and see another team in the playoffs. Even though this is January, beginning of the year, I'm going to talk about a little bit about football and some black history. You know, the worst thing for us as African Americans is not to know our history, black history, when it comes to politics, sports, religion, whatever may have you. But I just want to give you guys a little FYI, some food for thought. In the NFL, back in 1993, There was two gentlemen by the name of Kenny Washington and Woody Strode. Both of them went to school at UCLA Bruins. Played football, and actually they played with Jackie Robinson. But baseball, football, and basketball, if I'm not mistaken, I think Jackie Robinson was a four-letter man out there. That just shows you how good that guy was. So he could have went to the football and probably been good. He could have went to basketball and probably went good. He probably ran track. He could have did that and went and been good. He just was that talented of a player. But he chose baseball to break in. But these two gentlemen I'm talking about, they end up going to the Los Angeles Rams to play out there. And I was looking up some information to find out what position they played. And these two guys, I believe they played wide receivers and running backs, and they played on defense because, you know, Afro-Americans, we do that. You know, we play both positions without even complaining about it. But that's just some information I want to give to you guys in reference to Black history. Also in Black history, we had a guy by the name of Willie Thor, 1953. He was the first Black quarterback to play in a game. He was the backup to George Blanda. Okay? That's another little tidbit of information. He grew up, I believe he's from Pennsylvania. I don't know exactly where, but he's from Pennsylvania. And as we all know, Doug Williams was the first Black African-American to win a Super Bowl. Okay? Enough said with that right there. So that's just some of the things that I'll be bringing to you on the show for this whole month of January, dealing with Black history. We're going to dip into baseball, basketball, track a little bit, everything like that. So that just wanted to give you guys some of that information on that right there. But look like I got a caller in, and I'm going to see who this is. Last four, area code is 202. Last four is 8716. Hello, Talk To Me Sports Radio. Who am I speaking to? Hello? 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 Okay, I guess they want to play music in the background. Hello, can you hear me? Talk To Me Sports Radio. Okay, well, how about I'm going to go back to them. Okay, got another call on here. Last four is 6193. Talk To Me Sports Radio. Who am I speaking to?
What's up, Cavs? Jerome Johnson.
Hey, what's up, Coach Jerome? How's everything going, man?
Life is good, man. Just came back from that Packer game yesterday up in the frozen tundra. Now back at home in Milwaukee.
Okay. Oh, so you back up in Milwaukee then, huh?
Yeah. I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Been out here since September. I work in the milk. What would you say there?
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I'm here working in the Milwaukee Public Schools. My son Romy and I have an AAU program that we're doing out here, keeping the basketball connection going, and I'll be taking kids on tours this summer to a variety of different camps this summer.
Okay. What age group are you dealing with right now?
Right now we have four teams. We're dealing with 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th graders.
Okay,
and then for the high
okay.
school kids, we'll be taking a lot of high school kids on a tour this year. This summer, we're going to go.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, I seen you back home during the football season. Did you just move back up there?
Yeah. I rolled out of here in September. I came back out here in the latter part of September. My wife had moved out. We had relocated. You know what was happening in the Harrisburg School District with the jobs and everything. So
right.
they cut my
right.
And as librarian, I decided, to relocate because I'd already taken, a substantial pay cut in the prior year, and, it was just an economic thing for me.
Okay, I can understand it. Let me ask you a question. You was at the game last night. I heard they was giving out free drinks. Was they spiking it with anything or just cocoa?
No, they was giving out free hot chocolate and coffee. And they gave everyone free hand warmers as you came into the game. I'm going to be very honest with you. It was cold, But we weren't cold at all because we prepared ourselves for that. You know, having lived in Wisconsin back in from 1990 to 2002, I knew how to dress. So, you know, we just dressed appropriately, and we had a great time.
Well, that's good. I'm sorry that you guys didn't pull that one through with San Francisco because Kaepernick, his legs killed y'all. And that was a key factor in that game. I was sitting there watching. I had told an Eagle fan, hope they're listening in because I'm going to let them know that I ain't forget about our conversation before. But I told them, I said, you know, after they beat Dallas, I said, how far you guys think y'all can go? And they said, we can go all the way to the NFC Championship game against Seattle. And I said to her, I said, well, you think y'all can beat the San Francisco 49ers? She said, yes. And she said, I said, why do you think that? She said, well, because Kaepernick is not the player he was last year that he is this year. So basically I said, okay, I kind of agree with you on that right there. So, Coach, what I did, I broke it down to her and I said, listen, I said, the reason why Kaepernick is not running the ball this year like he did last year, I said, because they had a great backup in Alex Smith. So if he got hurt, Alex Smith could come in there, control the game, and keep the game within pace of them winning. I said,
right.
This year they don't have that luxury of having that quarterback, so Alex Smith got to pick and choose when he can do that.
Exactly.
So now it's the playoffs. It's the playoffs now. It's win or go home, and he did what he had to do, and he used his legs against you guys. I think the Packers just it was a good game. I enjoyed watching the whole game, and usually I don't watch the whole game, but I did last night. As far as the Packers are concerned, they definitely played them. They would have played them tougher than Chicago would have. Cause I'm still not sold on Cutler getting all that money, and I don't think he won a playoff game yet, maybe one or whatever. But still, it was a good season for the Packers, though. It was a good season.
Yeah, our problem this year was the injury bug hit us. You know, even yesterday in the game when we lost, you know, having already been in the situation we was coming into the game, losing three defensive players when our defense was shaky anyway didn't help us. My whole thing was this. I went to the game kind of knowing that San Francisco was probably going to have, you know, the edge on us. But it was just for me, just the experience of being at Lambeau. You know, it was cold as heck. And, you know, it was a family event for us. My son Romy and my wife Allison, friends. And it was just a good experience. And one of the things that I can check off on my bucket list, so to speak, of, you know, I've been to some games at Lambeau before, but never, you know, a playoff game, and, you know, when it was extremely cold, you know. Having been subjected to the Ice Bowl back in the 60s, that's when I first became a Packer fan. I thought I, you know, kind of went full circle yesterday just being there at that game.
So that's what's up. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Hey, now, I don't know if you know. I think I did tell you that I'm coaching, helped coaching the JV girls for Harrisburg basketball
team. Right. I was there when that. I was, I've been following you, buddy. I don't know if you know it, but I've been checking you out. I keep tabs on all my players. You know, I saw what you did with the Biddy basketball program. I've been watching what you've been doing with the girls. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, man, I'm really proud of you. You know, keep doing what you're doing. The one thing that makes me feel really good. I see young men like yourself that I've had the opportunity to work with that are doing some of those same things that I learned from people like Wes Gumby and Sherman Cunningham and Joe Brown and some of the other people that was there in my life at that time. So, you know, I just applaud the fact, you know, you keeping it moving. Another thing is that I like how you guys spirit of your boy Zach Warren alive through his Facebook page and the post that everyone always do. I really, you know, think that your classes, you know, your class from your high school years were a good group of young people, and y'all are still doing some very good things, and I'm proud of y'all.
I really appreciate it. Yeah, because we got two scholarships we get all every year for Harrisburg High, and one of them is in Zach's name. Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that. But I got a little story that I want to tell people out there in reference to you when you was our basketball coach. We was playing Hazleton, and you walked in the locker room and told us, yo, these guys are 15-1. And we went out there and dunked that place up. Oh, my goodness. And then at halftime, you came in the locker room, you said, guys, the joke's on me. And we looked at you like, what? They was 1-15. I looked at Zach. Zach looked at me. I said, man, we better get it together, man. This is crazy.
Yes, sir.
But you know what that taught us, what that taught me, though, is that people put things in your head and it stays there and affects you how you play. And I tell the girls it all the time. I say, when you go on the court, go up to that girl next to you and tell her you're going to be in her shirt all day long.
Exactly.
If you say that to her, then she's going to forget about basketball.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
But I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Yep. Psychology is a big part of the game, man. And you can get into people's heads, you know, then that works. I mean, I think back to how, you know, we should even just come out, you know, with our cougar jumping jacks and things like that and always trying to look nice and, you know, come out with some type of a lot of fire and attitude. You know, that would always get in the other team's minds before, and we had them beat most times before we even played them.
Exactly. I totally agree. Well, Coach, I appreciate you calling in. Hopefully I can get you on a regular. Who's your basketball club again?
Pardon me?
Who's your basketball club again?
Oh, my basketball, you can check me out at Wisconsin Rain, R.com. WisconsinRein.com. www.wisconsinreign.com. It'll tell you a little bit of our program. We have a great slate of coaches that were all top high school and college players. Some of the guys played professionally overseas and things of that sort. Currently, we have some excellent players in our program. We have one young man that's the brother of a kid, the number one player in Wisconsin, a kid named Looney, who just signed with UCLA. I got his younger brother. He's like a 6'3" point guard in the eighth grade.
Okay.
And the guys in our program that are starting varsity as freshmen, you know, after having worked with my son last year, my son Romy Johnson and Rich Sims and Tyree Bolin are some guys that are doing some really good things for the youth of Milwaukee and of all over Wisconsin, for that matter. So, go to our website, check out, the stuff about our program, read the information about our coaches and everything, and I think you'll like what you see. One of my dreams is right now, this is my first year here in Milwaukee. There's a lot of opportunities for me and my son with what we're doing. We have a program called Be Smart Sports that we're putting together where we'll be doing a lot of different things. And my son right now runs the youth program for the city of West Allis, Wisconsin, which is a suburb of Milwaukee. And he also coaches, we have our hands in quite a bit in terms of sports and youth programming out here. So we're just going to go ahead on and make these things work. This has been a dream of talking about what we were going to
do
when he got bigger. So, he's doing some good things out here in Wisconsin. So I'm glad that I was able to come out and join him. I'm closer to my grandkids now. I'm with them every day, watching them grow and instilling, the things in them that I've taught you guys. So that's fun watching them. I have a beat coming up in Corey Johnson as well as Alec Johnson. Both of those guys are touchdown in every game he played this year and hit a home run in every game he played this year. So that tells you what kind of
that's
guy he is.
Up.
And then he would see, I can show him something on TV. Like I was showing Barry Sanders videos, and he'll watch the Barry Sanders video. He'll go outside and practice the move. Next game, he'll go out. Sanders did, and come back and tell Romy, Romy is his coach, he's like, Dad, see, I did what Barry did.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do, though? I'm going to try to talk to Smalls and see if we can get the AAU to come down here and play this AAU down here. That'd be a nice little thing
that's
to do over summertime. I know we can make that happen.
My thing now is we're going to go to Kentucky this year. We're going to play in Kentucky. We're going to play in Iowa. We're going to play in Minnesota. We're going to play in Chicago. And we're going to try. Like I said, I want to get to the East Coast. You know, that's what I want to do. I want to come up and get some of that Smallwood Summer League stuff they got up there, you know? Maybe we can.
Yeah.
I'm trying to arrange like all-star game, take the all-stars from the Smallwood Summer League and let them play my boys, let them come out there with them boys because they got some good players in Wisconsin. There's some excellent teams in the state of Wisconsin. If you go online and sports to the basketball sites, you'll see that Wisconsin has several nationally ranked teams. Germantown is undefeated. We have a school out here, Dominican, that has some very good players. One of my buddies, Jimmy Goss, who's a coach at Milwaukee, Rufus King. He's one of the top coaches in the country. They, you know, they win nationally every year. So, you know, there's some great basketball out here. You'd be surprised with the talent.
But one thing about, I'll tell you what, I don't know if I could live in Wisconsin. It's extremely too cold for me, and I figure if my family moved any further up north than Pennsylvania, we would have some serious problems.
It's not that bad, you know, and you get used to it. It's just a matter of layering yourself. In the winters, like right now, it's cold in Harrisburg. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Cold in Harrisburg. Right now, y'all in Harrisburg probably got somewhere right around 1 or 2 degrees, whereas right here we got, you know, the wind chill is about minus 30-something. You prepare yourself, you know, before you go out, you know, dress yourself accordingly, and people don't let the weather
was
closed,
right,
and it'll be closed tomorrow, but that's all over the country pretty much now, so, you know, it's the best.
Yes, it is. All right, Coach, well, like I said, good hollering at you. I will definitely look into your information. We'll talk some more offline so I get all the correct information.
Right.
Got something I want to look into, and I definitely want to have some of the young men call into the show and tell them, you know, what you're doing for them and things of that nature. If you brainwashed them like you brainwashed us with that game. But I appreciate you calling in, man. You stay warm, and I will talk to you later.
All right, my brother. Peace, and have a good year.
All right. Take care. You too.
Later.
All right. That was my JV basketball coach, Jerome Johnson, calling from Wisconsin, up Wisconsin, Milwaukee. He has an AAU program going on. He's doing great things out there in Milwaukee. He better than me because I can't deal with that cold weather. I'll tell you that right now. Look like let's try this 202 area code again. See if they got me off the music. Okay.
No,
Talk to Sports Radio, who am I speaking to? Hello?
I don't want to talk about the Boston Celtics.
Who am I speaking to?
This is Coach Henderson from Washington, D.C.
Okay. What's up, Chuck? you want to talk about the who?
The Boston Celtics.
What would you want to know about them?
Let's take a minute and talk about them. Hold on.
Okay.
Enough about them. Let's talk about the Lakers, because we can talk about them all day.
You want to talk about the Lakers, you said? Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why the Lakers think everybody is dumbfounded with them trying to get Bynum out there so they can cut him. I'm just trying to figure this one out. I mean, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get rid of some cap space. I ain't mad at them for it because they're going to need it, you know, to bring out – if they want to bring Melo out there and another superstar, they're going to need all that cap room. But they must think the rest of the NBA is dumbfounded because if Cleveland does that trade, something's wrong. They need the brains examined because there's no way in the world that I would give up all that – for him to get cut, and he probably going to end up going to Miami somewhere to sit the bench to play the Pacers. But I seen L.A. won last night. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They scored 115 points. I thought they won, but I saw how much they scored and ended up losing. So what's going on out there in Tinseltown? Are they preparing for the draft, or what are they doing?
They played all
Kareem ain't walking through the door.
The coach is horrible, to say the least, this year. That's who they need to part ways with is D'Antoni. And depending on who they draft, if Melo does come, then D'Antoni has got to go. So hopefully they do get the right players in and decide that they don't want to come if D'Antoni is there. Dwight Howard said he didn't want to stay as long as D'Antoni was there, so he's the main reason the team is the way it is. The guys that don't really want to play for him. His system doesn't work. Gasol, he's been unhappy since his arrival. So that's just a little issue right now that they need to come to terms with as far as getting rid of that coach. But as far as Bynum is concerned, he's really done with basketball altogether, I'm pretty sure. I don't think he's going to play for anybody. He doesn't want to play. He's not motivated to play. Making $10 million ain't enough motivation for him, obviously. So he obviously is rotten down to the core. It ain't just dealing with a disgruntled coach. He's a disgruntled player. He doesn't have motivation to play and be great in basketball. So
Let me ask you a question. It just might be L.A. because, you know, Bynum left and he got problems. Odom left and he got problems. So maybe he just want to go back to L.A. and play. I don't know. I mean, I kind of agree with you on Bynum's aspect because, you know, Philadelphia got a bill of goods. They got a bill of old goods with him. And then Cleveland, I don't know what Cleveland thought they was going to do. Well, I know what Cleveland ideally was trying to do was get them a center to tell LeBron, look, now we got your legitimate center. Come on back and play, okay? But that ain't going to work out that way. So Cleveland can almost just pack it in, and LeBron will be in Miami. He'll probably retire in Miami. He didn't go on nowhere. But I think that was the whole purpose of them trying to get Bynum there so that he can get LeBron to come back to Cleveland. But what's the word on the Black Mamba?
The idea was good with Cleveland. I like their whole setup they have. They got some stars and young talent. So they actually did their due work as far as to build a team. They just got a player whose head ain't right. His head still ain't in the game. So he could really be a dominating center right now. He got all of the pieces around him if he wanted to dominate and play. But his head is just out in the clouds right now, and it's been out there. And if you steal that much money from a team that you didn't even play one game with and still come got a brand-new contract, so he just got too much money at this point, and he doesn't know how to handle it mentally because he's too spoiled and he's a big player, he's lazy. And he doesn't want to be the best. Like Kobe, he's rich and has money, but he worked hard to still be the best. But he cares. He has pride. Bryant has none. He has absolutely zero. This should be he's getting cut and benched on a team like Cleveland right now in the midseason after sitting out a whole season. That's his issue now. That's not the league. It ain't. No matter what team, he just got personal issues that he needs to overcome. And there's some players like that. They can't handle fame. They can't handle fortune. He's one of those who can't handle. He's gotten spoiled beyond, you know, any type of saving at this point. He got $20 million from the Lakers, and he got, free money? How much? So $10, $15 million from Philadelphia from doing nothing.
He got a free paycheck from Philly. That's what he got. Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's one of those players that don't love the game. He likes the game. He likes all the fame and fortune comes along with it, but he doesn't like the hard work. Someone asked me about him going to Boston. I said, he would not go to Boston. I said, because we're not going to put up with that mess up there with him not wanting to play when he wanted to play, don't want to play. No. And that's why I don't think he can go to Miami. Because Miami's all about making naysayers out of everybody saying 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever. So, LeBron ain't bringing no dead weight there if he's not going to produce. I mean, they got Greg Oden sitting on the bench, and the dude, the only thing he's doing is cutting his fingernails during the game. He's just waiting to play the Pacers, I think, though. But, I mean, it is what it is with Bynum. And I feel sorry for him in a way, you know, but that's professional sports for you. It's, you know, sometimes they say it's not about the money, but it's always about the money, you know. But you got to have the desire also to want to play, and that's the way I look at it like that. Now I got a question for you, man. There's a couple of teams looking to move out to L.A. For football. Who would you prefer to go out there?
Anybody at this point. I would love to have a professional team. I don't care who comes: Minnesota Vikings, Jacksonville Jaguars, whoever. I don't know what the other team is considering, but I would take the Jacksonville Jaguars at this point, just because I know that once they get to L.A., the management there will start to produce a better team for them. So I'll take the Rams to come back, too, from St. Louis if they wanted to.
Okay. All right.
But,
I appreciate you calling in about the Los Angeles Lakers, and I'm glad you didn't really want to say nothing about the Boston Celtics because
there was nothing to say. There was nothing to talk about.
They got cap room, and they got draft choices, so they're gonna be in a good situation. You know, every good team, you know, everybody goes through a circle. You know, And right now we're right in the midst of the circle. It's going to be all right, though. We're going to win some more games. I ain't looking for nothing great from us. I'm just looking for us to contend. And as long as they can do that, I'm happy with that. I still go see them play. I don't care what nobody say. But I appreciate you calling in, my brother. They just traded last night for
Memphis last night. I think they're going to trade Rondo away now.
Okay, I'm glad you're thinking that because I know that he's not going anywhere. His bottom line is that right there. But I appreciate you calling in. Hopefully you can be a regular, you know, and then we can talk about L.A. maybe having a winning streak of maybe two games or three games, but giving up 137, it was just terrible. But I got to hit it and quit it, man. I love you. Holla back. Peace.
All right, take care.
All right, let me see. I got a caller online. Who we got here? Eric Cole, 717, last four is 6193. Talk to me, Sports Radio. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, that's still my
Hello?
Number, Kev. Yeah, that's
okay.
Still.
Okay. All right.
You
see here, 717, last four is 8705. Talk to me, Sports Radio. Who am I speaking to? Hello?
Call in for Ty.
Hello?
Kevin.
Hello, who am I speaking to?
Gloria.
Who?
Gloria.
Hey, Gloria, how you doing?
All right,
how's
how
everything?
All right.
You got my blessings. I hope everything works out well for you in this time of the day and the week for you. So you call in for your husband. Where is he at?
Well, no, he's right here.
He's not here. Okay, so what you want to talk about?
You want to talk about who? What Todd want to talk about his Rams.
You want to talk about his Rams?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. I think the Rams are in a good situation right now with two draft choices coming up. They're talking about them guys drafting an offensive lineman, and I think the other one was a wide receiver. But you never know how this thing going to turn out because, you know, everybody can say they know what's going on in draft, and when the draft day comes around, it's a completely different story. But don't get me wrong, the Rams do need an offensive lineman, which is a good thing for them because they want to keep Sam Bradford upright. And I'm just looking at this top 32 for 2014 draft, and I believe the Rams draft 3 or 4, and they got a wide receiver by the name of they picked second. They got an offensive lineman by the name of Anthony Barr from UCLA. They say is the next best thing coming. And then they got the guy Jake Mathis from Texas A&M as an offensive lineman. So somebody must know something that's going on as far as the draft is concerned because that's where the Rams will be drafting at. And then they got Washington's draft choice somewhere down the line. I don't know. I can't remember which one that was. But they'll probably address the wide receiver spot with that one too because they still need a wide receiver to open that field up a little bit more. Even though with Austin down there, he got hurt at the end of the season, which to me reminds me a lot of the dude that's in New England right now, the little Armadillo, whatever the guy's name is, always stay hurt. I just hope he don't take that same pattern as him.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the number 2 pick off the Skins.
Yeah, okay, that's the number 2 okay off the Skins. And they're looking at they saying this dude by the name of Anthony Barr from UCLA, and then they got Jake Mathis offensive tackle from Texas A&M coming in at 4. So, I know they was addressing that issue, and I think they might be doing that because of Jake Long, you know, he tore his ACL, MCL. So he's going to be out for a while. He's not even going to be ready for OTAs. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a great move for them to grab that up, because they got to keep Sam Bradford upright, man. That guy, I wasn't too happy when they drafted him, you know, because I thought there was other needs out there. And he had a good rookie year, and he hasn't really proven anything since then. Not that it doesn't matter that he has a different offensive coordinator every year, except for this last year. The last 2 years he had the same offensive coordinator. And that does help a little bit, because a lot of fans, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, it may be the same play, but it's the terminology of what they're saying that changes, that make you understand the play. It may be the same play, but they just say it a different way.
Yeah, different terminologies and everything. I think they ought to just move him, man, go for somebody that can move, man, like Johnny Manziel or somebody, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, I tell you what, if they were to go after a quarterback, which would really, 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 really surprise me, I like the kid from Carr. I think he would fit well with them at quarterback. You know, like I said, Sam Bradford, I'm still on the fence with him, man. I really wasn't happy when they drafted that guy. And being that, you know, I'm from the old school Rams, and they had Mark Bulger backing them, Kurt Warner, and, you know, Mark Bulger was doing good. And the guy got gunshot. He got scared back there because the offensive line wasn't blocking for him. The guy was getting pummeled all the time, you know.
Yeah.
But I think if he had that offensive line they got now, he probably would do well. I mean, he's a little older now, but I know he can't still play. But I'm just saying, I just don't see it. And maybe I could be wrong, you know, but I'm still going to see what happens this upcoming season. You know, the schedule looks little tough. But their defense is what's going to keep them in the games. I personally speak, you know, them guys are, they play tough. They don't take back down. You know, you got Quinn over there on that defensive end line. That guy is, he is something else, man. He is something else.
He's a bad boy. He's a bad boy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So, what the hell's going on with you, man? Huh?
No, you watching that game tonight?
Oh, yeah. As soon as I get off the radio station, I'm heading down to Rookies. Got a young boy from Harrisburg playing on Auburn's team. So, you know, we got to cheer for him.
Oh, yeah?
Austin Payne.
Is that Winston guy? Is he a freshman?
Yeah, he is a freshman. He won't be coming out. He probably won't come out until next year. But they said if he could come out, he probably would be the number one draft choice coming out this year. If he would come out, he probably definitely would be the number one draft choice. With Bridgewater, you know, everybody's saying that, you know, I'm just speaking my opinion, but everybody's saying that Texas is going to pick up Bridgewater as a quarterback. I don't think Matt Schaub is that bad as a quarterback at Texas, and they got O'Brien down there. If O'Brien could put McLaurin from Penn State in the NFL, he can fix what's wrong with Schaub, and they can address some other things other than the quarterback, you know, because them guys were on the brink of – I mean, they was picked to go to Super Bowl at the beginning of the season. They had some bad things happen to them, you know. What team doesn't? Look at the Redskins, you know. They picked to make the playoffs too, but certain things happen. And, you know, you got to move on from him. But, I mean, just because he had one bad season, you know, don't count the guy out.
Yeah.
But, man, it's good talking to you, man. I appreciate you calling in. Hey, you tell the family I love them, and you guys are in my prayers.
Okay, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too.
All right. All right. We got another caller online here. Let's see who we got. Last four is 2364. Talk to me, Sports Radio. Who am I speaking to?
2364.
Hello.
2364. Hey,
hello?
Hey, Kevin. This is Valerie. How you doing?
Hey, Val. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm
you enjoying
doing...
the show?
I am enjoying the show. I sure am. I called Pam in New York, and she may be listening, or she may even give you a call, because she keeps up with the sports and everything, so she might have something she want to say.
Well, that's good. That's good. I appreciate it calling in. You know, the more the merrier, because you know, Talk to Me Sports Radio is first African American sports show that we're doing on the air. That we had somebody on pretty much every night of the week. And Ray Bennett was the one to came to me and asked me if I wanted to do a show with him. And I said, you know, at first I was like, no. He said, well, can you just come on and talk for a little bit? And I did. Came on and talked for a little bit. And he's like, yo, he put me on the spot. He's like, yo, Kev, I want to know when you can come on the air and do some sports for me. So we sat down, we talked about it, and I told him, I said, well, let me shadow you a little bit. And I shadowed him a couple of times. And then he said, yo, I think you're ready to do your own show. So I've been doing this for a little bit over, almost about 2 months now, and I enjoy it because it's something I love doing. I love talking about sports, you know. And I ain't saying I know everything about sports. There's some places that I'm weak in, like hockey and soccer and things of that nature. But I'm willing to learn about them and go watch them and see how the game is being played. I'm definitely want to try to do this hockey thing. This guy out in Chicago, been talking about hockey so much, and I'm trying to give you some tickets to the Hershey Bears and watch some hockey because they said you at the hockey game is really exciting. So that's something I plan on doing in the near future, is going to a hockey game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But hockey, if you get a chance.
Hockey's exciting, but it seems like they do a lot of fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They
do. I
don't
know. So don't get no front seat.
Well, long as they don't hit me, I'm fine, because if it hit me, they're going to be called the Dixon Bears instead of Hershey Bears.
Hey, well, listen, you're doing a good job, and I am enjoying listening to you, and I'm going to stay tuned for the rest of the show. So you have a good evening.
All right, I appreciate you. Take care. And thank
all right,
you for
you
calling
too,
in.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Talk to me Sports Radio. Let me give you the lineup that we have coming up. You got myself, Kevin Dixon, coming on every Monday from 6 to 7. We got the First Ladies of Sports from Harrisburg come on Monday from 7:30 to 8:30. We got my man Ray, my man Bennett from Harrisburg, Tuesdays from 8 to 9. We got Jerry Carpenter coming out of Chicago on Tuesdays from 9 to 10. I like listening to Jerry. He gets out a lot of good information, and every chance I try to get talk on the show, because he gets some people in there, and they got that Midwest twist to it, you know what I'm saying? So I try to bring a little East Coast twist to what he talked about a little bit. After that, we got Brian Cobb on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. We got C. Vernon from South Beach, Mondays from 9 to 10. We got Willie La Vista from Hampton, Vinnie Guy from Chicago, Carlton Usher from Atlanta on Thursdays from 8 to 9. And we got my man Daniel Hardy out in L.A., where it never rains in Southern California. Hardy, Thursdays from 8:30 to 9. And we got Clifford Jackson from Lincoln University, right down the street from Harrisburg, on Saturdays from 1 to 2. So, ladies and gentlemen, we do got a nice little lineup going on. And, you know, only thing we ask you to do is take 1 hour in a day to listen to what we got to say. We give it to you in a different way than ESPN, Yahoo Sports, Sports Illustrated. We got real sports for real. We talk real sports for real people, you know. So, only thing we ask you to do is just listen in. If you got something you want to say, like the ladies' choice say, raise your hand, which means push that number one button, and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. So that's the lineup that we have going on. Getting back to the Black History part of my program here. A lot of people really don't understand how if you ever listen to Cat Williams, he do a little joke and said, you know, they think they was doing something to us when they made us pick cotton. He said, but we was out in the cotton fields picking, making moves, we was doing a double dribble with a piece of cotton. We was doing a fade. We was doing a finger roll. We was catching the ball with one hand. And that guy's ready for the NFL, the NBA, and the Major League Baseball. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, with that being said, now we got this guy by the name of Fritz Pollard was one of the first black coaches in 19, 21. This guy was an incredible guy. He was the pioneer before the pioneers. You know, then we got Art Shell, who actually was the first African American coach in the new millennium. Come, you know, further up until our era, he was the first black coach. You know, we got Ernie Davis, who was the first Afro American to win the Heisman Trophy. They probably would have gave it to Jim Brown, but you know, Jim Brown was militant back then. Jim Brown didn't care that they ain't talk to him. He didn't want to talk to them. So, you know, he wouldn't get no interviews, none. He was all about being who Jim Brown was. But a lot of people don't realize Jim Brown played lacrosse, too, you know. So he was a two-letter man up at Syracuse. So he just didn't do football. He did lacrosse. So, you know, he was good at that also. So that goes to show you that Afro-Americans can multitask when it comes to things of that nature, okay. And then we have James Harris, actually, was the first black starting quarterback in the NFL. He started out with the Buffalo Bills, and he eventually ended up with the Los Angeles Rams. He's the one that I really looked up to as a kid growing up playing football. That guy was an inspiration to me as a black quarterback. I think he probably got a raw deal every now and then with the Rams, but that's here to be said, you know what I'm saying? But he got on the field. He did his thing, you know. And We got a dude by the name of Marion Motley was the first fullback, okay? And Motley, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he played fullback, linebacker, punt returner, kickoff returner. He was what we call in our high school Isom. He was the first Raymond Isom to do it all. You know, Raymond Isom was a player that played at Harrisburg, and he field goal kicked, he punted. He quarterbacked, he punt returned, he kick returned. Only thing he didn't do was block. But he probably could have did that well if he wanted to also. So that's just my thing is, you know, I call him the Ray Ison. And then our first place kicker by the name of Gene Mingo was the first African-American kicker. He played for the Denver Broncos. Okay. The first punter was George Coleman. First African-American punter, he played for the Cleveland Browns. And, of course, I can't leave out the only black Afro-American general manager we have right now in the new millennium is Ozzie Newsome, the very first. He did some wonderful things with the Baltimore Ravens, them guys that won two Super Bowls with him being in office. I'm a little upset because he was a Cleveland Brown. He should have came on back to Cleveland, been the general manager. We wouldn't be in the turmoil we're in right now if he'd probably be there. But it is what it is, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know. But these are some of the guys that set the pace or set the way for other young Afro-Americans to be able to play sports in the United States because it wasn't easy for these guys. Trust and believe me, if you ever watched 42 with Jackie Robinson, It wasn't easy for that man. They just showed parts of what he went through, and he went through a whole lot. If you ever get a chance to read his book, and that movie will enlighten you. The book will enlighten you more than the movie will, because the movie didn't tell it all. You know, I think the reason why Jackie Robinson got picked to be the first African American baseball player in the modern time was. Jackie Robinson went to college, so he was educated. Jackie Robinson was in the military. He got a bad conduct discharge because he wouldn't get off the bus, okay? But he had discipline to go to the military. He had education from college, okay? So he had all the things that Rooney needed him to do as far as being a baseball player. He could tolerate being called the N-word. He could tolerate sleeping in other facilities while the other team went somewhere else. He could deal with taking a shower by himself. He could deal with all those things as a young man because he was educated, and he could deal with the tolerance because he had the patience because he's in the military. Now, was he the best player? That's to be questioned, okay, because back then you had Satchel Paige, which was a pitcher. You had Josh Gibson that was knocking the cover off the ball back in the day. And I guarantee you, if they kept home runs in the Negro League, Babe Ruth wouldn't be able to probably touch Josh Gibson with his home runs. You know what I'm saying? So that's a little tidbit of information as far as black history for me. And like I said, for the next month, next 2 months, I'm going to come with you with some more black history as far as what's going on with Afro-Americans. Now, getting to the modern day, Randy Moss said if he played right now, he'd get all kind of touchdowns. I don't know how much y'all believe that, but, I mean, Randy Moss probably could because he was tall, lanky, could run the field. And the way it's set up now is that all wide receivers got advantage over the defense because they want the game to be a high-scoring game, you know. But I tell you, that Randy Moss is a great player. You know, Tony Gonzalez has probably played his last football game. His next stop probably be Canton, Ohio. One of the greatest tight ends ever played a game of football. I wish him all the best after football is over with him. Hope he stays healthy. You know, one thing I'm looking at is the free agency coming up in the NFL, and it's one person that sticks out in my mind that I think is not done yet, and they're gonna let the man walk. His name is Maurice Jones-Drew. I believe that guy still has the tenacity to run that football over people. He has the tenacity to catch that football and run over people. So I think he still got a chance to play. He's 28 years old. He averaged like 4.5 yards a game. He's been to three Pro Bowls. He's three all-time Pro Bowls. He led his team in rushing led the league in rushing in 2011 with 1,606 yards. And he's coming up. They're going to let him walk and be a free agent. So I tell you what, I don't know about nobody else, but I think that man's going to be able to find him a job somewhere running that football. And I think he's going to do one heck of a job wherever he goes. I wish him the best of luck. He can come to the Rams. He can come to the Browns. I wouldn't mind at all. I'm still on the fence about the Browns, though, because I need to find out who the coach going to be. Whoever the coach going to be, you got to knock my socks off for me to really want to back them again. I read everything I could read about why they got rid of Chud. You know, I don't agree with it. I guess, you know, they're kind of justifying, say they made the wrong choice at the very beginning because they thought they were going to get Chip Kelly, you know. So it is what it is. But look like I got a caller online here, 3738. I got a caller. Let me see. Did somebody call back? Let's see.
Eric.
Talk to me, Sports Radio. Who am I speaking to?
What's up, Kevin? It's Eric.
Hey, Eric, what's going on, man?
Not too much, brother. I totally.
How's everything going?
Everything's going good. I said, let me make sure I call my man today. I see him.
That's
I'm
good. I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a quick question for you, man. I'm glad you called in.
Yeah.
If let me ask you a question. If you would take the Dallas Cowboys and switch them with the Cincinnati Bengals, do Marv Lewis still keep his job? You know what I'm saying? This guy, I mean, I like Marvin Lewis. I ain't taking nothing away from him. I think he's a great coach. I think the problem is the quarterback. But, man, come on. Come on, guys. I mean, you know, and the thing about it is they saying that they're gonna be back on top next year. So do they know something that nobody else knows? Because you never know what could happen.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
You don't know what could happen.
How long has Marvin been there?
I think about almost 10 years.
Oh, then he got to go. They got to start fresh now.
Yeah, you know, I think they taking the approach is we don't want to win. We just want to be competitive. And I think that's why they couldn't sell out the stadium because of that reason right there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Cincinnati, the fans see the handwriting on the wall. And I'm not saying Marvin Lewis is the he's a problem. it might be their coach, but I'm like, I just can't figure these guys out, man. You know, like Andy Reid. Same old Andy Reid. The only thing he changed was colors, but the same result ended up out the playoffs again.
That's cold, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on, now. Wait. With the Chiefs, he did turn around. You got to give him that.
Well, let me put it to you like this. With Alex Smith as your quarterback, you had no other choice but to turn that thing around. They had about five All Pros last year, so they had the ingredients to be a good team. They just needed that quarterback. You know, I know guys got hurt yesterday, you know, and things of that nature for them. But you know what? The thing about it is, 53-man roster. Now, the funny thing about it is, Kansas City played their second string and almost beat San Diego. So they should have been prepared to play this week, so maybe they knew something was coming up that nobody else knew. I don't know. I'm just saying. But
I got another question for you, though, man. Yeah.
I was reading this article about Jerry Jones, something about he found the fountain of youth. And so that means that man going to be around for a little. We're going to all die before the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, man, because, you know, he ain't going to do nothing right by that team.
He has to
go.
He's such a loyal
dude
that he'll try to look out for everybody, but he can't. Like, he got to keep it a business, and that's the method he got to take. You know what I mean? Like, he got to go back. Like, I'm gonna tell you what. Everything changed for the Cowboys is when him and Jimmy Johnson went through that thing. That's when it went downhill after that. So that's the issue he's having right now. He got to let go because he knew he messed up then. So he's trying to atone for it now, but he can't. It's too late. So now you got to start fresh and treat it as a business. But now he should hire a GM because he's a heck of a businessman. But he should get a GM now. You know what I mean?
He definitely needs a GM. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I know my teams are terrible. You know, the Browns, like I said, I'm on the fence with them right now until I find out who the coach is going to be. If it's a college coach, then I'm going to be upset. And I think I'm just going to move on. I'm going to cut my losses and move on, burn my stuff. but now, if I was a Dallas fan, man, I'd be pissed off because anytime you're going to tell me we lose a game 51-48, and you're going to tell me as a fan or as a sports announcer or in an interview, wasn't you entertained with that game? Man, okay, he probably been entertained, but the fans want Dallas Cowboys to win. It's been a long time since they had a Super Bowl ring. You know, this is probably the longest drought they ever had. You know, until he understands it's all about winning Super Bowl rings, he's going to start losing some fans. You know, because Pittsburgh and Dallas probably got the most fans in the nation. You can go over to Japan. Matter of fact, you probably go to the moon, and they got a Cowboy Pittsburgh flag up there hanging on the moon somewhere because a fan probably went up there and put one there, one of them guys on spaceship. You know, but that's how deep it goes for these fans. You know, Jerry Jones needs to realize that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. What you saying?
That's the prime reason why he needed GM for statements like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, come on, bro. We try and win. I don't care if it's 3-2, bro. A win's a win. You know what I mean? You want to get there and try to get that ring again. But you can't say it's entertaining. Nah, man. We supposed to win that game.
Exactly.
Supposed to win, but, you know.
Well, you know, if you're a Cowboy fan, only thing I'm going to say to you is there's a lot of teams you can pick out. There's 27 more teams you can pick to cheer for now. Because it's going to be a long time for Dallas to win a Super Bowl. And don't pick Arizona because the Super Bowl's in Arizona next year. And, you know, if the Super Bowl's there, the team that plays there ain't going to go there. So don't pick Arizona.
No, sir. I'm a Cowboy fan till I die, brother. So stick with them. I'll just always, you know, stay faithful. That's me. The Cowboys and the Knicks. That's my two. So I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon. Like my buddy Kev doing with the Cleveland Browns, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm about to let him go because I've been a fan for a long time. I don't know how much more I can tolerate.
Yeah.
You know, talk about the Knicks. Why my man going to tie his sneaker like that in the game, man? What is wrong with that dude, man?
Yo, he gonna get a fine for it. I thought it was actual hilarious, but you don't do that in the game. Did you see how Sean Marion looked at him though?
Yeah, he looked at me like, yo, man, what you on some kind of some drug or something? Hey, Eric, I gotta hit and quit it, man. I gotta pay some bills. All
right, bro.
But I appreciate you calling in, man, and hopefully you keep calling in on a regular basis, man.
Yep. Not a problem, Kev.
All right, peace.
I'll call you again.
All right,
peace.
All right, peace. Take care, man. And everyone look out for the next show coming up. Ladies' Choice comes on from 7:30 to 8:30 tonight. Listen to them ladies talk because they got some good information for you. You guys take care. Stay warm. See you next Monday. Peace.